From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, how far will the left go to get your children? Secretary Mayorkas lies to Congress and the tragic cost of gender transition. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On the July 21st edition of Washington Watch Live, guest host Jody Heiss did an interview with a special guest, but it was not at all normal, and so we had her back on Monday. Here's Tony Perkins as he gives an introduction to our guest.
All right, as Jody Heiss discussed on Friday's program, last week in California, the Chino Valley Unified School District voted to require schools to do this. Sounds radical. Notify parents if their child identifies as transgender. Shouldn't parents know that? Well, under the new policy, schools must now inform parents if a student wants to use a different name or pronoun, or if their child wants to use a different bathroom. Well, pretty common sense to me. Parents should be involved in these decisions. After all, we hear all the time educators saying, well, the reason we can't get better test scores is because parents aren't involved. Parents get involved, and guess what happens? The left is furious. When school board president Sonia Shaw joined the program on Friday, her interview with Jody was continually interrupted as she received death threats on her phone, which continued throughout the weekend. Returning to the program now to update us is Sonia Shaw, president of the school board for Chino Valley Unified School District. Sonia, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I totally appreciate that.
Well, and on behalf of parents all across this country that FRC represents and listen to this program, let me thank you. You're a brave woman, and we're grateful for your leadership for standing up for what is right and standing up for parents to be involved in the lives of their children.
That truly means a lot. I mean, I can't even explain to you through all of this the encouragement and the support. That's what it's always been about, and that's how we get, you know, put one foot in front of the other. We're all linked arms, and I couldn't do this if it was just me. We all know that God's providing a way and the people, and I'm totally 100% humbled and grateful for that.
So, Sonia, before I get into some of the specifics here, share with our viewers and listeners what you've encountered since the board took this policy step.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to share with you. At first, I was hesitant, but I'm like, how are people able to join in any way that they're called into this fight if we don't let them be aware of what's happening? Because I think if I am able to show you who comes after me or the board for standing up to have the parents involved, then we'll know exactly what kind of battle we're in. Immediately, the next morning, our district got a phone call. A lot of things were said, but one thing was very clear. This person was going to kill me, and they said that they were going to dismember my body parts, my limbs, more specifically. Thank God we have an amazing police department here that jumped on it right away. To get that phone call was actually right before I jumped on with you guys, and I'm not going to lie, I was shooken. As the day developed, and I finally had enough courage to go online and look at my district email, I had things like, you're going to die with some inappropriate words, your children are going to die, and your animals are going to die. And then they would say things like point of reference, and they would name what kind of animals I had. And then I also got notification that people who identify as being in the terrorist organization Antifa posted on their website, we declare war on Sonia Shaw. They gave them my address. They said, we know that where you sleep. And they've said things like, use all force possible to stop her. To me, as nerve-wracking as that is, because I'm a parent, I'm a mother, it was devastating, because why are we doing this? To keep kids safe. And then it just reminded me, God reminded me that these are the people that are after our children. And this is something that is way beyond me being able to be bold and courageous. And I just have to trust that I'm going to be protected. The community has come together. I've had offers of people to be able to take turns with security, although I didn't accept that yet. We're taking measures to make sure and ensure my children's safety. Our police department's doing extra patrol around my house. So yeah, it's just a crazy intense time right now.
Sonia, I think it's very wise of you just to, and I'm grateful that you're willing to share this because I think people need to know. I mean, Jesus, when he called his disciples, he actually told them, look, people are going to hate you. They're going to come after you. They're going to reject you. They're going to, you know, you need to take up your cross and follow me. So I think, you know, even in Christianity, we don't really lay out there that you're going to run into some difficulties. And I think standing up for truth today, you're going to encounter difficulty. I mean, we've seen the same thing at the Family Research Council. We've had death threats. We've had a gunman come in and shoot one of our people. And fueled in large part by the left, like in our case, Southern Poverty Law Center. But I have to ask you, Governor Newsom, who's been targeting your school board in particular, is he not fueling this vitriol and this hatred that's being pushed toward you and the school board?
I would say he absolutely plays the biggest part in it. Sending Tony Thurmond was proof of that. Sending, I'm sure he had play a part with our attorney general, Bonta, sending our district a letter trying to intimidate us. All these are intimidation factors that come from the state. And we all know who is dictating at the state. It's Newsom. And I mean, that just proves, and I think a lot of things are being exposed. I mean, my daily prayer is for those to be revealed, exposed, and removed that don't have the best intentions and that have ill intent for children. And unfortunately, it takes a little bit of enduring some hard times for those things to happen. But I'm glad that they're exposing themselves. That's a blessing because more and more people are starting to realize what we're up against.
That's the only way it gets exposed is when you stand up and you confront it and the rest of the world can then see it. Sonia Shaw, I want to thank you for joining us. And as president of the school board there, I just, again, want to thank you for your courage, your boldness, your leadership, and for standing your ground.
Well, I truly appreciate that. I'm very honored. I come not just as Sonia Shaw. I come with so many people in our community. So many people actually around the nation have reached out to us. So, I mean, that's what's beautiful. God's brought us all together.
All right. Well, it takes a leader. So thank you for being one. Good to see you.
Thank you again. Thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
We commend Sonia for her bravery and decision to stand for biblical truth, no matter the cost. To thank Sonia for her courage and let her know that we're praying for her, sign our prayer pledge by texting the word COURAGE to 67742. That's the word COURAGE to 67742.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas appeared on Capitol Hill testifying before the House Judiciary Committee to defend the Biden administration's record on the border. But this testimony comes amidst a growing chorus from many House Republicans for impeachment of the embattled DHS secretary. Joining Tony to talk about this and more is Representative Harriet Hageman of Wyoming, who sits on the House Judiciary Committee. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congresswoman, welcome back to the program. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. It's wonderful to be with you today.
So Secretary Mayorkas appeared before the House Judiciary Committee today and claimed that the Biden administration's approach to the border is working. Your reaction?
He lied. And he lied throughout his testimony today. That was one of the things that I think if folks go and watch the hearing and his testimony, there was an enormous amount of frustration because all he did was dance and deflect and avoid and ignore and try to run out the clock for anyone who was actually attempting to hold him accountable or ask him legitimate questions. It was very frustrating for the Republicans, for anyone who wants to understand what the Department of Homeland Services is doing, what they're doing to protect our borders, to enforce our immigration laws and to address the incredible human trafficking that we're seeing, the flooding of our country with dangerous drugs such as fentanyl. You could tell, and I sat there for several hours quite close to him, since I'm the one who faces him directly or faces the witnesses. And what you could see is that every single response he gave was not to enlighten us, not to educate us, not to educate the American people, not to be held accountable, not to actually describe what was going on, but was to avoid reality and attempt to run out the clock.
Yeah, I watched a good portion of the hearing. In fact, I do see your position right there on the front row, right across from the witness, where the witnesses are seated. There was a lot of focus on the drugs, fentanyl, because it's a huge problem all across the country. But it was a wide range of topics that were addressed today. And one of the topics that was addressed actually came up in your questioning, and that was the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Grant Program. This is about $40 million that comes from the Department of Homeland Security to organizations supposedly to address the issue of terrorism, domestic terrorism. But as you pointed out, this money is being used to target conservatives. Tell us about that.
The money is being used to target conservatives and Christians. So that what is happening is we're getting into this doublespeak in this 1984-esque situation, because the terminology that is used always sounds so benign or actually positive. And what's ended up happening and what we've been uncovering over the last 7 months is what I would refer to as the censorship industrial complex. And under the Biden administration and Mayorkas and the FBI and the DOJ, they have intended to target conservatives, Republicans, Christians, parents who are concerned about what their children are learning in school, what they're being exposed to. They are attempting to identify them as domestic violent extremists. So they're categorizing people with whom they disagree on policy as somebody that they can then go after and use the full weight of the federal government to punish them, to marginalize them, to stop them from speaking, to take away their First Amendment rights. And that's what I focused on with Mayorkas. His agency, and he was referred to specifically by the judge in the decision issued by the district court out of Louisiana on July 4th, of what his agency has been doing to attempt to suppress the speech of people that the Biden administration disagrees with. This is an incredibly important First Amendment issue, and it's why I focused on it with him. But yes, what it is there's a university that is explaining and training people how to prevent conservatives and Christians from being able to communicate. And so what they're doing is they're lumping Fox News and the Heritage Foundation and a variety of other organizations. They're lumping them together with Nazis and right. with terrorists. And that way they can marginalize people and make it so that they can't actually engage in the public square.
And we know where that leads, because we saw the Southern Poverty Law Center. We were one of the first to make their list of their hate list. And it led to a gunman coming into our building. So it is and shooting one of our people. It's the marginalization, so that then people feel free to attack. And this is connected with Antifa. This is connected with the violence of the left. But you're bringing up something very important, Congresswoman Hageman, that I want people to hear, is that, you know, we hear about parents being labeled domestic terrorists. We find out that the Biden administration worked with the National School Boards Association to get this letter to the White House to ask for help. And then we see other examples of this, where we see an FBI memo coming out of Virginia that is connecting Catholic people of Catholic faith with extremism. And so we just get these little bits and pieces here and there. Every now and then one of them pops up. But these are all interconnected. And I think that's what you're saying. This case out of the Fifth Circuit in Louisiana, which the Attorney General of Missouri and Louisiana are pressing forward, shows that underneath the surface, all of these are connected, and Homeland Security is right there in the center.
Well, they absolutely are. And in the lead-in or the introduction to your program today, you were talking about what they're attempting to do in Australia. Australia does not have a comparable law or constitutional provision to what we have in the First Amendment. But I can assure you that what our leaders in the current administration are attempting to do is exactly the same thing. What they're trying to do is they're trying to give all of the power to government, for government to define what is misinformation, what is disinformation, what is malinformation. But what we've been through with COVID-19 as an example, all of the nonsense surrounding the claims and the hysteria associated with so-called global warming. What you do when you empower the government to be the body or the entity that gets to determine what's misinformation is disinformation is you give them the power to suppress people's ability to communicate and actually debate the issues of the day. If there's anything that COVID-19 has taught us, it's that we cannot trust the government to determine what is misinformation or disinformation or malinformation, which is a new word that they created, that even the federal agencies have said malinformation is information that may be true, but it's troubling or troublesome. Well, that is a dystopian world that we would be living in if we allow the government to have the kind of power where they can say, Harriet Hegeman, we disagree with what you say. And despite the First Amendment, because we have defined what you say as misinformation, we're going to block you from being able to say it. You want to talk about giving a totalitarian regime all the power that they need. That's the way that you do it. And that's why I said that I actually thanked Mayorkas today, and I thanked him for being the epitome of the exact tyrant that our forefathers recognized would go into government to attempt to take away our rights. And it is for that reason that they drafted and put in place the very First Amendment to protect our freedom of speech, our freedom of association, our freedom to worship, our freedom of religion, the freedom of the press, the free exercise clause. They did it because they knew that people would always be trying to take our rights away. And so by having those constitutional amendments, as the judge held in the district court in Louisiana, the government cannot do what they've been doing, including the Department of Homeland Security and Mayorkas. And they don't get to label us just so that they can suppress our speech.
I think you would agree we're at a tipping point in our country, and these freedoms that are protected under the law, they have to be used if we're to protect them going forward.
There's no question about that. And the point that so many courts have said throughout history is the answer to troublesome speech or the answer even to disinformation is more speech. It's not suppression. But one of the things that the courts have been absolutely unanimous about is that the last entity or the last organization you want to give the power to define what is misinformation is government, right, whether it's a state government, a federal government, because they're the ones through, we've seen it. You read the book, Franz Kafka's The Trial. You read 1984. You read Animal Farm. Throughout history, we know what happens when government takes control of speech and dictates what we can discuss, because then they dictate what you can think. And at that point, we're right back in the former Soviet Republic. We're in the communist China.
Yeah. Congresswoman Hegeman, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you for fighting harder on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
All right, folks, stick with us. We're back with more Washington Watch on the other side of this break.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. During a House Judiciary Subcommittee hearing on Thursday, dealing with the topic of transgender surgery procedures on minors, we heard powerful testimony from a young detransitioner. Here's Tony Perkins as he begins his interview with House Judiciary member Mike Johnson of Louisiana.
Congressman Johnson, welcome back to the program. Always great to see you.
Hey, Tony. Great to be with you as always.
I wasn't in the committee room, but I watched the committee hearing today. I thought you did a great job shepherding that process. It's always kind of difficult. It's like herding cats. But I want to get your reaction to the hearing today. And I know you know this stuff inside and out, but was there anything that you heard today that even shocked you?
Well, what's shocking is that how our Democrat colleagues try to pretend that this is somehow a service to young children. What What we expose today is really the nightmare, the horror that is happening now increasingly around the country. You have adults who are doing this terrible experiment upon young children. They are surgically modifying their anatomy. It's hard to use language that's appropriate for mixed audiences to describe what they are doing to young children, very often without parental consent. And they are doing long-term untold damage to these children physically, mentally, spiritually. And we had some very compelling testimony in the committee today to affirm much of that. But the surprising thing, Tony, is how some of my colleagues just deny the reality of this. It's a political issue for them, and it's absolutely staggering that that's the case.
I mean, how do they look at Chloe Cole? I think she's now 18 years old. She started in this process at the age of 13. She has, as I mentioned at the top of the program, since detransitioned. But she told members of Congress today, quote, "Let me be your final warning." I mean, is this something that Congress can ignore?
Yeah, today was Chloe Cole's birthday, 19. She turned 19 today, and she spent it with us. And it was an emotional testimony that she shared because of the horrors that she went through. She felt a little bit tomboyish and a little insecure because she was developing a little faster than some of her classmates, she said, when she was at that young, tender age. And just merely mentioning that to a healthcare provider put her on this fast track to try to change her sex. As she pointed out, that's really a misnomer. You can't change your sex. We're born this way. It's a natural process. You're not assigned a gender at birth, as the left says. You are born male or female. This is how God creates us. And she said it's all just a big smoke and mirrors operation, but it has huge, huge implications for the people involved. And so she has physical long-lasting effects of this. She's now detransitioned. She's a beautiful young woman, but she says she feels like a monster sometimes because of what they've done to her and her body. And her description of what they've done was just difficult to listen to. But again, you have Democrats in Congress who just want to affirm this. They want to allow these, I call them butchers, these surgeons,
right,
who are doing these terrible things to children, and they pretend as though that's some sort of benefit to society. It's just outrageous.
Well, Ms. Cole has since filed a suit against the medical establishment, the doctors that led her down this path. And I think that's quite interesting that this, I think, is going to open up the medical field for a lot of legal liability. And it's going to be interesting to see if the trial lawyers will go against the left on this, because, I mean, they're kind of all in the same cabal, to go after those who have taken advantage of these young people.
Well, the money may be a great allure there. Follow the money. We made the point in the hearing as well that there's big pharmaceutical companies and others who have a financial interest in using pharmaceuticals off-label, in other words, in ways that the FDA has never approved, to chemically castrate children. I mean, that's literally, quite literally, what is happening. They're stalling puberty. They're giving drugs to young boys to make them more feminine, and vice versa for the girls. It's just really sickening to see what is going on. And of course, they're violating the rights of these persons. They're not giving them fully informed consent for these medical procedures. And yes, it is a gross violation of medical standards in most places. It's medical malpractice, and it should be regarded as such. I'm heartened, Tony, that I think 27 states now, including our home state of Louisiana, have passed state-level legislation to prevent this kind of butchery from happening in their jurisdictions. And in our state, as you well know, the Democrat governor vetoed it, and in a historic special session, our legislature came back and overrode that veto. So they're being applauded for that, and we need much more of that courage around the country.
That's right. I think only the third time in 50 years, so that's a rare occasion. But this is an issue that is driving a lot of people to action because they see, just as you have described here, the atrocities being perpetrated on young children. I want to switch gears. The House Judiciary Committee today, the chairman, Jim Jordan, releasing documents to show that the White House clearly was in collusion with Facebook to silence those who were critical of their COVID overreach policies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is not just Jim Jordan's opinion or mine or members of Congress. We've had a federal court affirm this now as well, this landmark opinion that we've discussed. Out of our home state, Louisiana, the states of Louisiana and Missouri sued the Biden administration a while back because we had a hunch that this was happening. And in the discovery of that case, the federal court issued a 155-page ruling on July 4th, I think symbolically, to point out what the court regards as arguably, this is the court's quote, arguably the most massive attack on free speech in United States history. What the court said is, and the facts show, that the Biden White House, the Department of Justice, the FBI, and other agencies were meeting regularly with the social media platforms and pulling down and censoring, suppressing, silencing speech and free speech protected postings of conservatives for expressing a viewpoint that the White House disagreed with. It sounds like a dystopian novel or something, but that has happened. It is happening. And now the evidence proves it.
Are we going to be seeing more of this? I mean, yesterday in the Judiciary Committee, I mean, we saw how, in fact, you held the secretary's feet to the fire on this. You're calling in the most dishonest witness you've ever had in the 7 years you've been in Congress. It doesn't seem like they're giving the American people any answers, any information. There's no transparency.
No, they're not. And the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, as you noted, was in our hearing yesterday, and he was evasive. He said things that were demonstrably untrue on the record under oath, and I called him on it. I take no pleasure in doing that, Tony. I don't want to call a cabinet secretary a liar, but I just said, frankly, that is the honest truth. He is the most deceptive witness I've ever seen in any hearing. And he did that for hours on end. He doesn't provide us the information we need to perform our really essential function as oversight in the Congress over his agency. And so he's personally responsible for the open border, for the fentanyl catastrophe that's overtaken the country and killing innocent Americans, for the human trafficking problem across the border, all of it. And he just takes no responsibility at all. These people think they're untouchable. And so we've got to bring accountability one way or the other, and we're working on that every day.
It's like every day brings a new revelation of corruption in this administration. Mike Johnson, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, my friend. Great to see you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.